In the years after the War of 1812, many Americans looked at their country with a new sense of confidence. The United States had survived invasion, political division, and military humiliation, yet it had emerged with its independence intact and its national spirit strengthened. The British had burned Washington, but they had not broken the Republic. The Battle of New Orleans had given Americans a heroic memory of victory. The end of the war opened a period that many citizens wanted to believe would be calmer, more prosperous, and more united than the turbulent decades that had followed independence. Newspapers praised the rise of national industry. Settlers moved westward with astonishing speed. Politicians spoke of roads, canals, markets, and opportunity. To many observers, the young republic seemed to be entering a golden age of expansion. Yet beneath this hopeful surface lay a problem that no speech, celebration, or patriotic memory could erase. The United States was expanding across a continent while carrying within itself a deep contradiction. It was a republic founded on liberty, but it protected and profited from slavery. This contradiction had existed from the beginning, but westward expansion made it harder to ignore. Every new territory raised an urgent question. Would slavery spread into the West, or would it be restricted? Would new states enter the Union as free states or slave states? Would political power remain balanced between North and South, or would one section gain a lasting advantage over the other? By 1819, these questions could no longer be postponed. They erupted with force over the admission of Missouri. The Missouri crisis was not simply a dispute about one territory. It was a national reckoning. It forced Americans to confront the meaning of the Union, the future of slavery, and the limits of compromise in a democratic republic. The debate exposed tensions that had been growing quietly for years. It showed that westward expansion, often celebrated as a source of opportunity, could also become a source of conflict. It revealed how deeply slavery had shaped American politics, economics, and identity. Most importantly, it warned that the Union's survival depended not only on shared ideals, but also on delicate political arrangements that could be shaken by the admission of a single state. Missouri's path toward statehood began in the vast territory acquired through the Louisiana Purchase of 1803. When President Thomas Jefferson purchased Louisiana from France, the United States more than doubled its size. At the time, many Americans celebrated the acquisition as a triumph of peaceful expansion. The purchase opened enormous lands west of the Mississippi River to settlement, farming, trade, and speculation. It seemed to promise generations of growth. Jefferson himself imagined an empire of liberty, a republic of independent farmers spreading across the continent. But the Louisiana Purchase also brought uncertainty. Congress had to decide how these lands would be organized, governed, and eventually admitted as states. In that process, slavery became impossible to avoid. The original states had already formed a fragile sectional balance. Some states had abolished slavery or placed it on the road to gradual extinction. Others, especially in the South, had built their plantation economies around enslaved labor. The Constitution had avoided directly resolving the moral and political conflict. It protected slavery in practice while avoiding the word itself. The framers had compromised over representation, taxation, the international slave trade, and the return of fugitives from slavery. These compromises helped create the Union, but they also left future generations with a dangerous inheritance. As long as the nation remained relatively small, political leaders could sometimes manage the issue through silence, delay, or carefully arranged bargains. Expansion changed that. Every new state threatened to shift the balance of power. By 1819, the Union consisted of 11 free states and 11 slave states. This equal number mattered enormously in the United States Senate, where each state had two senators regardless of population.